Yo, yo, peddlers, welcome back to the podcast. This is your host, Norby, and I hope you enjoy this next episode.
Eric, thanks a lot for joining me on the podcast, on this episode, the new episode of the podcast. First, to start off, I would like to go a little bit just to know about yourself, a little bit, just a quick background for the listeners as well of who you are, what you've done, and where you're at the moment.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Eric Loftus. I'm a partner in a tennis court and running track sports facility construction company.
Okay.
With a childhood friend of mine. I run the court side of things and he runs the running track side of things. So we've been building we're the second generation essentially in the business. The company's about 52 years old, maybe 53 years this year. So okay. We're the largest and most award-winning company, what we do in the United States. And we have been building for almost the same market of, you know, colleges, homeowners, private schools, clubs. You know, it's a very similar market to what's kind of evolving out of the paddle padel world right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, a couple of years ago, we kind of saw the trend coming. I was on a trip overseas in Europe and I could see how big it was going. And everybody was asking questions about the United States. And we started doing some due diligence here. We're like, you know, let's be ready for this when it actually does come to the United States, because it's going to. And we've been watching it over the last 2 years slowly progress. You know, every time we really think we're going to get some momentum, there are a couple of different things that we can get into, which has been kind of slowing these things down.
Yeah.
But it looks like it's, you know, it's gaining traction. Like I said, you had that interview with Patricio. They're the first club that's open in the New England states right now. So the six states, you know, this side of New York. And so it's exciting. So more what we've seen with this game is that awareness creates demand, right? So I have some friends who just got back from Miami who they've been listening to me talk about it for God knows how long. And they're like, all right, I'm hooked. How do we do it? You know,
they tried it and now they're hooked, as you said. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. So, I mean, I play a lot of other racket sports as well. And the guys who are kind of in that orbit in my world are very excited to get the opportunity to play. Unfortunately, we're just slowly getting finally to the time where there are courts locally where people can actually play.
Okay. Where are you based, actually?
I'm in outside of Boston.
Outside of Boston.
So I'm in an area called Cape Cod, which is kind of a seasonal vacation land type place in the summertime down here. But we build all over New England, you know, basically down to New York and beyond as well.
Okay. So you've been preparing, well, the tennis world. Tell me a little bit about that, going back into the start of your business career as well, you know, getting into the tennis side of things and well, not just tennis courts, but tennis, obviously then pickleball later, but mainly tennis courts you were responsible for, right? Did I understand it correctly?
The company was started by the founder in the early 70s is kind of when the tennis boom was hitting the United States.
Yeah.
You know, there were pros doing well in the majors and it kind of caught wind over here. And they built a pretty small but successful business on kind of servicing these local clubs and kind of our area. You know, so let's say within an hour drive of where we are, you know.
Okay.
And, you know, the company built, quality was always excellent. And, you know, the founder of this company, he always had a very good reputation for giving you more than you asked for. And his reputation grew and we got bigger and bigger over time. The moved into running tracks because it's kind of, and a lot of the projects are, they're kind of adjacent to each other and seem like a good fit in the late 80s, early 90s. And then I grew up in the town where this business is. I've come back, after growing up and moving away and coming back.
Yeah.
And I grew up with the kids and the nephews who were affiliated with the business. So one of my very good childhood friends, who is now running the track side of things, a number of years ago, almost 15 now, asked if I would come back. I was working in investment real estate sales at the time, and come back and kind of help grow the tennis side of the business. And we took over the company over the last couple of years, and it's been a great run. You know, it beats doing a lot of things that you have to do to call work. You know,
yeah, that I agree with you as well. I'm lucky enough as well to have found something that I can call work, but it's really not really work actually. Okay, and so you guys 2 years ago you got into paddle a little bit, or you got a wind of it. Where were you in Europe, by the way, overseas when you said you were here?
So it's, you know, I'd heard of the game and I'd kind of seen it in pockets, but you know, we were at a tr an international sports trade show in Cologne, Germany in 2020. It was right after the Europe was starting to open up. It was definitely the first flight I took over there, you know. Still testing to go in and out of everything while we were first there. And, you know, pickleball was taking over the United States in certain markets. And as fast as that was growing, everybody or a great number of people were, you know, had models, 3D printed models of padel courts and trying to figure out if there was a market in the United States. And, you know, all of a sudden I was there with a couple industry folks and we're like, we gotta, this is coming. You know, it's a fun game. It was a mock-up. We got to see it. We hadn't played at that point. And, but, you know, some of us, anybody who plays racket sports becomes kind of addicted to all racket sports, really. So it's pretty easy
And
translation.
when was the first time you played? You played in Germany where you were there, or?
No, I did this last time because we just got back from the trade show again in October because it's every 2 years. But the first time I played was in Philadelphia. There was a facility was built. Just outside the city, and it's actually been very responsible for a lot of the boom in that area. He had built this facility right before the pandemic. But yeah, for a while we had to travel. You know, I've played in Texas and Florida and Germany and Philadelphia and New York, and you know, we've yet to be able to play in Boston. So that's all changing here in this next year as these projects start coming online.
So now the 2 years gone, you guys are ready to, well, I think the sport as well in the US is, as you said, there has been always thought, okay, now it's coming. Okay, now it's coming. What has been, how many times did you think that, or how many times did you guys think, okay, now it's coming and it didn't, and now it's coming and it didn't so much as you thought? And what were some of the holdbacks that didn't make it happen at the end?
Yeah, so the holdbacks are still the same, kind of the headwinds here. It's in certain areas built out for an indoor, on the indoor side, it's finding the facilities, the buildings. Like, you know, it's a pretty developed area. And you know, relatively built out, so it's not like there are. I mean, of course, you can get it, but you know, at a price, it's not an expensive area, right? So it's not finding that real estate has always been a challenge for an indoor facility. Now, if you're the problem with the existing building in here in the northeastern part of the United States is most of them aren't these big warehouse type things. You know, you have older buildings that have not low ceiling heights, but not 8 meters, and then you have and the column spacing tends to be a little bit tight inside the building to be able to fit
Yeah,
and
so you cannot
configure.
put the courts within, the ranges.
So finding those properties are few and far between. So that's been one impediment to the business growing, and the other is for the outdoor facilities is permitting because you know they call it planning in the UK. You have to go and get these approved by local municipalities, you know, and no one knows what they are. All they know is that you're telling them they're going to build a structure that has 3 meters of glass. And everybody's like, wait a second, let's get some engineering. Someone has to sign off on this, you know, that's. So now it's like, all right, because for ages, all the courts were only manufactured in Europe, and I won't bore you with the details, but the way they calculate, the way you folks calculate wind is different, although more accurate. It all has to be translated into American units,
Miles
and
per
that's
hour, the good old miles per hour, and all that kind of stuff,
yeah,
right?
and it's where the wind hits the structure and the load, and it's a whole and then we have different zones. Anyway, we could talk. I could bore you for, but so anyway, those are some of the things that kind of held it up. But as people become more familiar. You know, now I'm not explaining the sport to everybody I talk to. People have some awareness around it. We're getting there.
And
So,
no, there has been no, there's been no problems with noise from outdoor courts.
no, there's not enough of them, first of all. You know, there really isn't. I mean, if there's, depending on what you're reading, there's 300 to 400 courts in the United States, and the United States is a big place, right? So, the noise is all pickleball noise right now. So that like that. So those, I mean, that's a whole another topic and podcast and part of our life. But the that and paddle's a lot more quiet than pickleball. So I think it's actually going to help it because We're like, hey, listen, we're not doing pickleball out here, which is driving everybody crazy.
Yeah.
We're doing paddle, which has a much nicer pop to it than a
Yeah.
slap.
So I was in the US for vacation last year from like starting September, beginning of September until like mid. I was 3 weeks, so just traveling around a little bit. And I played pickleball for the first time, right? And it was quite cool,
Yep.
actually, I have to say. I come from tennis before. I lived in the US as well. I played college tennis, and I come from that kind of background, yeah. So
Yep.
it was relatively easy to play. I played for the first time, and I played against some older guys, yeah, some pickup game. But at the beginning it was fun. At the end it wasn't that much fun anymore because I realized how to play, and then I figured out the game. So at the end the old guys, I was like, yeah, okay, I need to slow down a little bit because they
Yeah.
might get angry or much. So it was all right. And then I start to. Yeah, the sound first, right? But then when I got back to Switzerland, I was like, okay, let's see if what's the hype, right? In the US, I was like, everything's so hyped, and then I was like, what's happening? And then I didn't understand. And then I came back to Switzerland, and I was like, yeah, let me look at a couple courts. And there are a couple courts in Switzerland as well. I haven't gone to them, and I haven't played on them. But I'd
Yep.
be interested to see whether that's gonna be anything at all, or it's just gonna be a US thing. That hits and nowhere else in the world so much. Yeah, what do you think of that, actually?
Well, it's the universal appeal of pickleball is anybody can play
Yeah.
and be fun at a certain level fairly quickly, right? So
Yeah.
there's a low barrier to entry. So the and that's why, I mean, you can have your mother playing or grandmother playing with a granddaughter, and
Yeah.
everybody can kind of, and you mix it up, and it's fun. It is, it's a I think as you get to be, if you're a competitive rackets player, or eventually you kind of outgrow or get bored of it, like kind of what you were
Yeah,
saying there.
yeah.
It's one great thing about paddle is that padel is that the there are a lot more nuances as you get better. Like I've learned, just even kind of walking in, like I said, you play some racket sports, you have some basic skills, right?
Yeah.
But there's so many more layers of depth in this game, I feel, like
Yeah,
it's
the learning curve is quick, but there's it's almost how do you say it in English? It's almost not infinite, but like you can go, you're like, okay, now I'm there. Oh shit, I can go again a little bit more, and then that's why, yeah, for sure there's a bit more than pickleball. Obviously a bit more elements are added because of the walls and stuff like that. So you obviously have other dimensions that are not playing in tennis, that are not playing in pickleball, that you don't have those in those sports, right? So
Yeah, and
that's
one and so it's like you can get on the court more easily than tennis and
Yeah.
start playing like pickleball, but you there's just so many more layers to get better and better and
Yeah,
better. I
it's in
think
between.
it's almost like a nice bridge between the two.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
think pickleball, and I've said this before, one good thing about the sport for paddle is that pickleball is exposing many athletes and people and players who have never really played racket sports. And before the racket sports, right? So like around here, you have so much competition for your if you're going to be play sports, right? Like my son's playing lacrosse and baseball and soccer, like I said, and
Yeah.
he's and I want him to play tennis, but he's bored, he doesn't want to do it. So they so a lot of these kids will grow up, at least where we grew up, not even playing any racket
Yeah.
sports. This is just it's opening a whole segment to the community of to rackets, and I think it's really like a rising tide. Like tennis is growing,
Okay.
even squash is growing to an extent. These
Yeah.
other games, yeah, it's squash is a little tough because there's a lot more infrastructure and it's harder to play if outside
Yeah.
of club.
Yeah.
But it's really like I would have told you before the pandemic that tennis was flat at best in the United States.
Yeah.
We're chugging along, but
Yeah.
but not
Yeah.
wasn't growth, right? Because it takes it's hard. Tennis is hard to get started. You need a number of lessons before you're comfortable jumping into like a round robin or something,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
You're worried about embarrassing yourself.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to do that with pickleball to jump in and learn how to play in 10 minutes,
Yeah.
and pickleball's kind of in the middle, I think.
Yeah.
You can go in there and you can bounce the ball back and forth and have some fun without being on a giant tennis court and worrying about your stroke and that sort of thing.
Exactly.
So
That's exactly it. No, that's exactly it. And I mean, that's why Yeah, I'm interested to see how far pickleball goes, if at all, here in Switzerland or in Europe generally. But yeah, I'll try to go see someone here in Switzerland as well to see what I'm sure it's someone with the US Association. what did I want to ask? I wanted to ask now going into a little bit of the construction side of things. You guys now have manufacturers in the US that you take your courts from, or how did that build out? How did you get that started? You mentioned overseas before, but how did that then evolve?
Yeah, so there's a couple companies kind of testing the waters right now. One really has their act together that I know of. I can't speak to the other just because I don't know it all that well. But actually, when I was over in Germany the first time, a friend of mine who runs sales for a sports equipment manufacturer company. These guys make the goalposts for the NFL stadiums. The things that you don't think about that are in a stadium, indoor sports. They have a great business, a great reputation, and our industry is pretty close. So he was with me actually in Germany the first time, and we had a conversation. It was literally over a beer, and I was like, "Do you think you can build these? Could we build them here? Because it's a we can import them. There's all sorts of logistics of bringing them in from another country and everything
Yeah,
else, tax."
sure.
And he went back and started looking at it from his side, and I went back and looked at it on my side from a kind of a construction development, almost like bigger general contractor idea. And they're up and running. They're about to hit production, which is great. So they had the first demo at the American Sports Builders Association, and it's a very well-built court. Very well. It's going to who knows? They're not going to be the, I'm sure they're not going to be the only one in the United States, and I'm sure that it's not going to eliminate the Spanish manufacturers, because those guys have been at it for a long time, and they're all trying to kind of get their boots on the ground here in the States with American salespeople, with logistics and that sort of thing.
Exactly.
That's the big challenge right now, is to try to get them in lead times, getting them shipped, getting them taken from the port. Everybody's trying to learn how to get from the port to where they're getting installed, understanding what you need for like concrete requirements. And what we've tried to do at is take our experience in 50 years of tennis court construction and apply that to, hey, to normalize. So if you're trying to build a club here in the States, it's like, all right, how do I get these things from Spain, and how do I get them installed? Who's going to build them? That's we're looking and are acting as kind of legitimizing and normalizing that business. You have American installers who are trained to do it. We can warehouse, we can do the planning, we can run financial modeling, we can essentially build out your whole facility and have the network to do so, as far as any other aspect of the project. And I think that is a market need that's happening over that is it needs to be filled over here. It's tough to buy something that's tens of thousands of dollars from Spain and just hope it shows up into a container, and okay, and then you're like, what do you see?
Yeah, for sure. That's interesting, because on a, I mean, Peddler, and this is kind of for now a side business, and podcast is something I enjoy doing. I enjoy talking to people, and I enjoy just hearing about stories and stuff like that. So that's something. But on my daily day to day, is I run a paddle center.
Oh yeah.
And we've had there as well, obviously had to get new courts. We've expanded the center with two courts, so we had to get two new courts, have to get sometimes new carp, also what's it called, carpet, the floor, right? And with the two new courts, I have a yeah we had an ex interesting experience, because obviously we ordered them from Spain. In Europe it's no problem, they'll bring it with the truck, and you have it there. But with building the court up, is where we had major issues, right? Because in Switzerland, you have to have someone who is a Swiss guy who works for a Swiss company, right? But those guys, I mean, in Switzerland, the living expenses and living costs and business costs are high, and so those co we got the courts for a good price, and then we said, okay, we need four workers, five workers, let's just get them. And then we said, we got a quote for that, and we said, "Hey, no chance." So I actually built me, the founder of the company, and two other guys try to build two courts. Yeah. Now I haven't
How'd it
worked on
go?
it. I haven't worked on a construction site in my life. I played tennis my whole life. Yes. Yeah? So construction and like a screwdriver in my hands, they don't go well. It's not like tennis racket or paddle racket in my hands that I can do stuff, but with the screwdriver or whatever, I cannot. So it was not fun. We did it. We finished it. But it was not great. So what I was trying to say with this actually is, it's super important to have someone who knows how to build the courts properly, actually, not just ship it, but to build it properly. Because we built it, but the floors weren't laid very good. I mean, we laid it and with some fucking like in the middle, like there's some space, and it
Yeah.
wasn't great. So people played on it, but they're like, "Who did that?" I was like, "Yeah, I did." So like, don't expect too much. Yeah, it was me. So sorry about that. And then so we actually had to then, okay, we'll take it off and we'll have someone come in and do it properly. But it's super important within a country is what I was trying to say, that to have someone putting it together, because essentially your club's clients will be paying for the court, right? So if they're playing on shit courts, that's not gonna be fun, and it's
Yeah, the
not.
other aspect of that is too is like after if there's any issue or if there's if you need some maintenance and how are you gonna
Yeah.
get somebody from Europe to come over and do that
No,
for you if
no.
you
No, no. We had
need
also
parts.
we had like a Ukrainian guy coming in, but with a Swiss permit somehow, and then he was the supervisor, and then he was helping us, but he also wasn't that helpful because he's done it like the second time in his life as well. And so we were like, "What is going on?" Like, and then since then, there's as well in Switzerland has opened up companies who's worked with football, soccer fields, like indoor soccer fields, that there's the same flooring almost more or less, and they know how it works, and they've done now a couple paddle courts, but it's a Swiss company. They come here in the morning, they build up two courts, and then they leave in the evening, almost. So it's super nice, obviously costly, but that's the only way to do it.
It's done professionally, right? And so yeah, it's like I said, you're absolutely right. You're feeling a market need out here,
yeah
because
yeah
there's some folks will try to kind of do it themselves and be
yeah
more economical and everything else,
yeah
and good for them. But if a lot of times you're looking at we're look, trying to offer a turnkey solution here. You can order the course, know they're built right. You're gonna have after sales service.
Yeah.
You're gonna be to call somebody who's going to pick up the phone, who's here, who's within a drive of where the location
Sure.
is.
Yeah,
So.
no. These are important. So, yeah, these are super important for a club. Should be as well important to put to focus on that they're building some good quality courts, because otherwise they might save some money first, but in the long run it's gonna be a tough one to then keep
Which
the
course
clients.
did you choose? Which brand?
We Paul, we had back in the day, we started with what was the company we used? Venezia Padel or something like that, some Italian company. And now we have a good contact actually that delivered some good courts. We just put them together shit, but the courts itself are great.
Yeah.
A Turkish company.
Really?
Yeah,
Okay.
and the quality I like the we've had them now for about 2 years. And I mean the construction of the court is not bad. And the flooring is also that he sent us is great. So
Yeah, everything's going up well. It's great.
we're satisfied with that. And so we'll probably work with them again. I think because we're gonna have some construction again, hopefully in the summer or towards the end of the summer. Because as you mentioned, ceilings are very important. Our ceilings are also not very high, but we're looking to change that actually. And so we're gonna have construction, and we need to take all the courts out, and rebuild the building kind of. And then we're gonna do some new courts, new flooring for sure. So we're gonna use them again. We're pretty satisfied, but it's a Turkish company.
How many courts do you have at your club?
Eight courts.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, maybe
Yeah, there's
eight
nothing
courts.
that big. I mean, maybe in Florida, but nothing that in this part of the country
Yeah,
yet.
in Florida, I was in Florida, so I played at reserve in Miami. I went to open paddle. It's also in Miami, north of Miami, right? But yeah, it's good. I as well. I think eight courts is interesting, because obviously it's a more of an investment. It's a proper club. When you're starting with three, four courts, it's great. But the ratio between your expenses, your rent expenses, and how much a court brings in, it go the
Right.
more court you get, the bigger it goes in terms of how much you can sell for the court, right? So it becomes more interesting, the business, the more courts you have, obviously, in regards to the expenses and the rent
Economics. Yeah.
that you're paying. But yeah, so that's that. So I want to go into a little bit on some of the goals. What do you guys have? Exciting times, I think, from what I see from Europe in the US at the moment with PPL and with everything that's happening. Other sports as well, right? MLS and all that kind of things. There's a lot of things happening that are coming. People from outside and making headlines, right? Including then Paddle PPL as well. What are the goals for you as a construction company, as a service company as well? What are the goals
Yeah,
for?
so it's funny. We've always said we're not going to grow like our core company, grow for growth's sake, right? So our quality and services is first quality, and our number one desire to keep going. So essentially, what I don't necessarily have a goal on like how many courts you're trying to build, right? Or how many facilities you're trying to build out. We want to make sure that we're here to do it right as this business grows in the United States. I want to be take everything that we've learned and everything that we've done right in the tennis world and kind of be here to be a proper business and properly support the sport as it grows here in the US. And wherever that goes and however long it takes is really okay as far as we're concerned. Like we're not trying to say we've been around 50 years and plan on being around 50 more. It's not like we're trying to build a business and flip it out. So that said, I mean, I would love this year to have, a number of clubs in the New England area so the sport starts growing and starts kind of incubating and that sort of thing. And however we can be here to support that, as far is really kind of where we'll take it. And we're looking at all aspects. As far as I'm concerned, we'll support the club owner, the homeowner, whomever, any way that makes sense for the sport and be able to fill that gap for them.
Sure, and you're focusing on mainly on the Northeast area, or you're gonna try to get into some other areas of the US as well?
Yeah, so I mean the Northeast is pretty big, right? So we'll go right now looking like probably down as far as Washington DC, although I gotta say, we're consulting and helping a job in New Orleans right now as well.
New
So there's
Orleans, okay.
so I mean we're not gonna be taking necessarily our guys down there to do the install and everything else, but I'm consulting. I'll go down there a couple times and we put them together with a court and that sort of thing. So we're who knows? It's wild. It's because it is so beginning and so, like I said, like you just said, these are kind of wild times, right? Where I'm not really saying no to anything, but I'm also I'm not trying to spread ourselves too thin either. We're gonna make sure that whatever we do, we can do it with
Do it
top
right.
quality.
That's the most important
We're
right now.
off.
And not trying to do too much, but doing it right, that's more important.
Yeah, it's worked so far, so we're gonna kind of keep doing that. We're also looking at maybe investing in some clubs ourselves and that sort of thing. I'm not gonna operate. It's just not. I don't have the experience or the desire to run a club. I don't. But if there's opportunity to partners, like there's if you had the real estate here in the Massachusetts area and the New England area, the money and the investors and the people are there. Could make those connections and everything else right now. There are people chomping on the bit. There are a lot of people circling trying to find the right location and that sort of thing.
That's
So it's
it's I thought about it in the last couple of days, actually, because in a lot of countries at the moment, everybody's trying to do something. Everybody, this is really wild times, which I'm looking forward to looking back at this time in about 10 years and seeing then how this was and how I lived it, right?
Yep.
But there's in Switzerland as well, people, same problems, similar problems, not much real estate and hard to find real estate, good ones, and so but investors and people are ready to go. All right. I mean, Eric, I think from the podcast side of things, I would say it was a pleasure to have you on the show, and
Yeah.
we'll go Well, the listeners, I'll tell. Well, they'll see it as well, anyways. For if they need courts in the northeast, potentially a little bit more south, but closer to the northeast, they know who to contact.
Yeah, happy to help and talk too. Like, there's a, if people have questions and they're just starting out and down this road, like, even if it's not in our area, I mean, there's also people I could steer you to. But I'm just
Sure.
happy to do what I can to support this sport. So if you have any questions, if you have kind of thoughts about the whole thing works, call me up. I'm happy to talk about it.
All
So.
right. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. I think we're trying to build, or I'm trying to build with the community, with the podcast, just a community where people, if they have any questions, they can always reach out to me. Hey, can you contact with me this guy? I'll be more than happy, you as well. If you have anything, I'll be more than happy to get in touch with you, anyone that is part of the community as well. So
Great.
that's the goal of it. So I appreciate your time, Eric, and hopefully we'll see each other next time you're in Europe. Maybe you can come down to Switzerland a little bit, come down to our club and see how it is. And otherwise, when I'm in the US, then we'll maybe catch each other for a beer or whatnot.
Sounds great, man. I really appreciate the time.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Eric.
Thanks, Norman. Take care.
Thanks, you too. All right. That I will yeah, I will cut it there, and then yeah, that will be it. I'll probably make a short out of it and post it. I just had another recording yesterday and with you
Yep.
today, so I might need some time until I actually post yours, but or post this conversation, but it'll be out there. It's not time sensitive because it was more over general and what you guys do and stuff like that. There will also be the same thing in a week or a week and a half maybe.
No
So
problem.
yeah, I appreciate it. It was cool. And
Yeah, if you, I mean, also
are you guys
depending on,
planning to come to Europe anytime? Or are you again
yeah,
or
we're coming. I'm gonna come. 99% sure too. There's in Spain. There's a World Paddle Summit in Malaga
okay.
in May for a week. So I
Yep.
plan on going there. I was just in Cologne in Germany. I gotta do some actual work here too. So I gotta stick around a little bit.
Cannot always
Yeah.
just travel around the world and
No.
pretend to work on the road and stuff like that.
Exactly.
It's not
Exactly. So
always
someone's gonna
okay.
run the show. But yeah, and you said you just got back, right? You were over here
Yeah,
for a
I was
bit.
yeah, last year, yeah, in September. So vacation, I
Yep.
just got back. But I have a friend of mine who's getting married. An old teammate of mine is getting. I'm not sure if they're getting married actually in the US, but he hasn't sent out the invitation yet. But if they get married in the US, then I'll be back again. Probably not for that long as I was last time. But I tried to go to his wedding and maybe somewhere else. So that will
Yeah.
be either this year and middle of also summer this year or maybe next year. I'm not sure yet, but we'll see. I'll be back for sure. And potentially, yeah, it depends on how things go with Paddler. I'm working on a first clothing line. I was in Turkey to get some manufacturers and to speak to some fabric and garment manufacturers to try to get some decent quality. Depending on how
Yeah.
things go, I might try to reach out to some of the US guys that I've been in touch with and I played with and I know, and then I might need to make a quick
Yeah,
trip as
I'm
well.
happy to. I don't know if you've seen, like, I'm on LinkedIn quite a bit. Like, I'm happy to promote it or do whatever I can, like, and that sort of
That'd be
thing.
awesome. Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'm trying to work on it now. I have a couple of things to figure out, yeah, financial wise as well, and just with how things gonna work with the center and with the line together, kind of.
Yep.
But yeah, I will try to do it and appreciate any kind of support from you as well. I appreciate it, and of course, it's mutual.
Sounds good, man. Really appreciate it. Keep in touch. Happy
Eric,
to help anyone.
thanks a lot. See you soon, huh?
Right. Take
Have a
care,
good
man.
one. Ciao. Ciao.